Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. Another week, and weirdly, like another really long break, which I just found out about. I really just thought Texas was like 2 weeks away, but apparently it's like 3 or 4 weeks away. So hopefully we can fill that gap a little bit for you. But yeah, a pretty uneventful weekend on track, I think. I know there is a lot of stuff to talk about outside of that, but while you're here, wherever you're listening to us, give us a 5-star rating. It really does make a big difference to the podcast. And yeah, obviously we have started releasing clips now. Again, I know we've been through this cycle a lot, but this is it. We've like got our system in place. So yeah, clips will be coming out on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. Like literally throughout the week, we try and release like 5 a week at the moment.
We're doing all right.
Yeah. So first week went really well. So yeah. Get involved in whatever way you can. Obviously, we are just F1 fans like yourself, so we like to hear all your thoughts, like whether it's commenting on a different post that we do, whether it's DMing us hateful comments or whatever. It's good to get involved, and having different opinions is why we love sport, you know, all walks of sport. So yeah, like I say, there is a fair bit to dive into and to dissect from this weekend, but I don't think particularly from the racetrack.
No, I don't think. I mean, we've praised when there's races are decent, and we've been pretty critical when races are boring. I would put that up there with one of the worst races of the season.
Yeah,
it was pretty dull.
I mean, it was shit. I mean, we can be honest, like it was shit. And yeah. I mean, it was we didn't even get the safety car that we always get in somewhere like Singapore. We don't know. We just there was nothing. Okay, there was a little bit of like strategy play, but like it all became like very obvious. It wasn't like, oh my god, how was that? It was just like, well, you know, Merck did the split strategy. Oscar stayed out long and somehow jumped everyone. I thought Charles Leclerc was fucked, but he actually did well.
Red Bull actually turned up this weekend.
Well, one driver did.
Okay, yeah, one driver did. Yeah. The other driver...
50% of Red Bull turned up.
Well, which is normal.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we talk about Daniel Ricciardo a bit. But before we get into that, Luke, I want to discuss something. And touching back on what you said earlier, we want to hear your opinions. So you listen at home. Luke and I went for a run the other day. And when we were running past, I said good morning to someone. Okay. And this is where I want to get your opinions. Luke straight after that said, what's that all about?
I find it weird. I do.
But why? It's being pleasant. His reaction was, you wouldn't say hello down in the supermarket aisle, would you? Well, no.
So what's the difference? That's what I want to know. What is the difference?
I don't know. I just think it's being friendly.
So you say hello to everyone you see on the street?
Well, to be fair, when I was running today, I realised it got me thinking even more because I was saying hello to someone. Also, is it like when you go running and you see someone else running, is it a thing to just...
I don't acknowledge them. We're not brothers. We're not connected. Do you know what I mean? It's not like... I don't believe in this like running clique. It's like when bus drivers wave at each other. I think, what are you, like six? Just because you're both, unless you genuinely know each other. And even so, right, if you know each other, if you drive past your mate, you don't wave at them. You stick two fingers up at them. So I just think it's so embarrassing. And then I think like, okay, well, on the off chance, they might actually know each other. If I run past a stranger,
yeah,
even if they're just walking their dog, I've got, firstly, no interest in who they are or what they do.
Okay.
And I certainly don't know them. So why am I going to be like, hiya? Like, I'm just not going to.
Well, I just think it's a pleasant thing.
I don't even look at people when, like, if someone's coming this way, right? And for those listening, I'm pointing in one direction. And I'm going the other way. I just don't make eye contact.
Fair enough.
It's just because why would I?
No, that's fair. I mean, I think it's a polite thing.
Okay, so next time you're in town, and I want you to trial this, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go to Boots. You need to buy some beard dye just for men, right?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Or some minoxidil to fill in those gaps in your hair. But I want you, every single person that you walk past, I want you to say hello to them.
Well, I don't think it has to be every single person, but I think there's times...
What's
okay, I think there's times...
Who do you pick and choose? How do you pick and choose?
Depending on how friendly those people are. Those people we went past the other day were walking a dog.
So now you're going to stereotype people.
They're just waiting to cross the road, and they went, morning. They're just being nice.
I just thought, I don't know you.
You then pushed them over.
No, but that's how I felt.
Yeah, but you don't have to know them, but it's just being polite. Guys, listen at home. Get involved. If you're walking past someone...
Do you know what I find polite?
What's that?
Leaving people alone and letting them get on with whatever they're doing.
But I think there's a time when you know when to say hello to someone.
And it's when I'm running. Yeah. Leave me alone.
Yeah, fair. Okay,
But people do it when they're on walks and they walk past someone. They're like, hi, morning. I'm just like, oh my... Don't do that. It's like, I've hated it since I was a kid. Like, I'd go out with my parents and they'd do it. And I just seem like...
Yeah, but your mum and dad are very friendly.
Yeah, so I'd be like, well, who's that? I'd be like, I don't know. Well, why are you saying hello to them then? And yeah, the supermarket is my go-to comparison, because imagine if you did it in the supermarket. If someone came up to you and said, morning, you'd be like, what? Shut up. You would. And then you'd probably go home and tell Vanessa about it. You'd be like, bit of a weird one in the supermarket. Someone just came up to me and said, morning.
Yeah. I mean, I've had...
But all of a sudden, you're out on a walk and it's completely normal.
Yeah. I get your point. I don't know. It's just like a... It's just a thing we do, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think it's probably one of those like stereotypical British things. Like, I don't know, when you get in a cab late at night and you say, oh, like, busy one tonight, mate. It's just like Englishisms that we can't help.
Yeah. No, I get it.
One I've always been dead against. I'm just, like, I'm not interested in communicating. And trust me, I am a really friendly person, right?
He's not.
This is, you know, like, I'm always, if I need to communicate with someone, it's always very polite, very friendly. If I'm in a shop or something or a restaurant, I don't need to communicate with that stranger that is walking past. That is just by chance that we're walking past each other, right?
The person who says they are friendly... They're not friendly. Since we've been on this podcast already, he's taken a piss out of my beard and my receding hairline.
Well, technically, they're all kind of one, so...
Fair play. But get involved. Let us know at home. I know it's not F1 related, but, you know, we like to bring something different to the podcast. So, news. Sauber are understood to be evaluating three main candidates ahead of the 2025 season. Can you guess who they are?
Well, I know for a fact that one is Colapinto.
Yep.
Which, he has been really good, right? But it's still this thing of like, and I'm not going to take anything away from it. He wasn't particularly lighting it up in F2.
Yeah.
He's only had like two races now in F1?
That is his third race.
Okay. Because they were considering him before Singapore, might I add. This like rumour had come up before the race.
I lied to you, it's his second race.
It is his second race. So at the time when the rumours came out that they're actually considering him, he'd only had one race. And again, I was thinking, like, is that the bar now? Like, you can get in an F1 car, do well once, and that's it. Because I thought Nyck de Vries sort of squashed that mentality of that's actually probably not the right thing to do. And this is not to... Colapinto has, in the two races that he's raced in, it's been unbelievable, and I loved his move off the line. Mm. Even though Alex Albon didn't, I don't really understand why. I don't even know how it affected Alex Albon. But I thought the move was great. But it does seem bold to then all of a sudden, after one race, assume, oh, actually, he could be our guy. I just think, like, surely this is something, yeah, okay, maybe he's in the conversation, but we need to watch him for, like, let's see how he finishes this season, and then we'll have the conversation. Because at Sauber, you know that you are not at risk of him being taken by anyone else at this point.
Yeah.
So, Colapinto is one.
Yep.
Number two... I actually don't know. Give me a clue.
Valtteri Bottas.
I know they are considering Valtteri Bottas.
They're considering Valtteri Bottas. And number three, we discussed this in the last podcast, Bortoleto.
Currently
leading the F2 championship. So out of those three, who are you picking? I get what you mean about, obviously, the bar and what people need to do to get into F1. But for Sauber, I mean, they're going to finish on 0 points the way they're going this season. They've had an awful season.
I was also thinking about this. Do you think it's just because Sauber know they're leaving the sport, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they just haven't invested in the car at all?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like a team that is actually kind of just getting by until 2026 and kind of going, I don't really want to invest in it.
It'd be like Haas of 2021. Yeah. But I know it's a different circumstances, but they were basically just like, well, we're not investing in this car.
No.
But because they don't have a lot of money compared to some of the other teams, they just completely invested in 2022.
So I think they've got nothing to lose. Obviously, they got Hülkenberg going there next year, which for me is a superb signing, already going to make that team better.
I do think it'll be a different story next season. You know, I don't think we'll see Sauber or Audi, whoever they are. Are they not Sauber for another season?
They're Sauber for next season.
Yeah.
2026 is Audi.
Oh, so next season probably will be a rough season for them again.
Potentially.
I would imagine.
But who would you pick out of those three?
It's tricky because I'm stuck in two minds of like, well, you've got Hulk, the experienced driver. And then it's, do you give the younger driver experience in the car and get him ready for 2026? Or do you have another experienced driver like Valtteri Bottas working on the development of that 2026 car? And then maybe in 2026, you say, okay, well, Hulk's been outperformed by Bottas, so we're going to have Bottas and Colapinto hoping that he hasn't been snatched up, or Bortoleto, or vice versa, whatever, like Hülkenberg stays and Bottas goes. I think I think Bortoleto has put in a real good shift in F2 this season.
Yeah.
And I think Colapinto getting it on the technicality that he got to drive an F1 car first, to me, does seem a little unfair.
Mm.
Bortoleto has had a really good F2 season. I would, if we were going to pick a younger driver, I would lean to Bortoleto over Colapinto.
Yeah.
And some of you might call me stupid for that, because Colapinto has been really good in the two races. Yeah, he has. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's been really good. But again, are we going to judge a driver's ability to be a consistently good driver off two races?
Me personally, Bottas, I think he's past his prime.
Yeah, I agree.
However much that pains me to say, I think he's great. I love Bottas. Loved him from the days at Mercedes. If I'm Sauber and I'm looking for the future, I think, yes, okay, perfect. You got in Hülkenberg. Hülkenberg will go there and do great. He will, because he's already showing what he can do in that Haas. He's leading that Haas forward. And if he's actually going there with Audi, they're only going to go forward. I really do believe that. Franco Colapinto coming in, yes, okay, he wasn't doing too great in F2. But for me, he's taken his chance. And there's something about him that really stands out. And if I'm Sauber, you've got nothing to lose for next year. I would be going to Colapinto, personally.
Over Bortoleto?
Over Bortoleto.
Based on what?
Well, Colapinto has already shown since he's come in that actually he's not just consistent in race,
but he hasn't shown he's consistent. You can't demonstrate consistency in two races, is my point.
Qualifying, race pace. And actually, I think I've lied to you, because I think it actually is three races, because he's done Monza, he's done Baku, and he's done Singapore.
Okay, three races. Again, it's still too difficult to demonstrate consistency. And again, this is not taking anything away from his performances, because he has been great.
But what's the difference from actually saying Liam Lawson deserves a seat after last year? He did four or five races, whatever.
Because our comparison to him was Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah.
So we said Liam Lawson deserves the seat over Daniel Ricciardo. At this point, you're saying Colapinto deserves the seat over Bortoleto. Well, when they were both racing in the same classification, Bortoleto was coming out on top. So you're giving Colapinto the seat based on the technicality that he got to get in the seat of an F1 car first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think, is that like skewing the judgment? We don't know how well Bortoleto would be doing it. Bortoleto might be carrying that car beyond, you know, Colapinto has come in and matched Alex Albon. He's done no better than Alex Albon, in my opinion, but he's certainly done no worse. And that's not a dig at all. Alex Albon set the bar very high, and Colapinto has come straight in and matched it. Brilliant. Has he got potential to get better? Of course, he's really young.
My counter-argument to that would be actually match him against Logan Sargeant. Logan Sargeant was in the same roughly position as Colapinto was in the championship leading into when he got the seat, okay, before Sargeant got the seat.
Yeah.
Sargeant came in, stunk it up. Colapinto has come in and already done far greater than what Logan Sargeant done. So however much I agree with you with regards to Bortoleto's done great in F2, I think Colapinto has been given this opportunity, and so far he's taken it and he's shone.
No.
In qualifying, race, practice, he's for me, he's a quality driver that actually does need to be snapped up relatively quick.
He has taken it, and sometimes you need to be given an opportunity and you've got to take that with both hands. And look, if they picked Colapinto, right, I'm not going to be sitting here saying, what a terrible decision, you've made the wrong choice. My point is how quickly this sort of like weight of expectations falls on the drivers.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like surely we need to do more to prove that we are like worthy of having that F1 seat full time. Now look, if Colapinto goes on to consistently match Alex Albon for the rest of the season, like I said, it's then a different conversation. But to completely take Bortoleto out of the conversation purely because he hasn't driven an F1 car doesn't make sense to me.
No, I wouldn't be disappointed. For me, it shouldn't be Bottas. If it's Colapinto or Bortoleto, I would be happy either way. I have a question for you, okay? So, say Colapinto came in before the summer break and he had started off and had a really good time, you know, really good races like he's done so far, and come the end of season he's again just been solid the whole way through. Do you think Williams would have considered signing Carlos Sainz if someone like Colapinto had come through and performed? Do you see what I mean? Because obviously Logan Sargeant was never going to keep that seat. However, if they had a driver like Colapinto, who is a Williams in the driver program anyway, if they had him earlier on and he was performing, do you think James Vowles would consider going, oh, I wonder if Carlos Sainz is the right move here? Should we stick with our, you know, our younger generation?
100%. Carlos Sainz is a special driver.
Hmm.
There's I'm not saying Colapinto can't get to that level, and that's the gamble you take in F1, but at the end of the day, Carlos Sainz is not a gamble.
No.
He's a young driver. You know, what is he, like 26, whatever? He's still relatively young. He is very young. He's already at that level. There's no risk with Carlos Sainz. It's like, okay, from a commercial point of view, he's brilliant. He's got loads of fans, big Spanish backing. He's got big sponsors. But on track, he's got it. He backs it all up. I don't think it's controversial of me to say if you put Colapinto and Carlos Sainz in the same car, 9 times out of 10, Carlos Sainz comes out on top. He's got the experience, he's got the youth, and he's got the skill. So I don't think that would ever be a contest. But I get your point.
No, I would agree with you. I think you'd be stupid not to take Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
I was interested. Let us know at home, because I'm interested to see whether, obviously, Colapinto's got a big Argentinian support.
Yeah.
You know, he's the first Argentinian. They're
always passionate down in South America.
Has the sponsors as well there. And I was just curious to see, I wonder what James Vowles would think if even if Colapinto was in at the beginning of the season and he was performing well, I don't think he would change.
I think if they had signed Colapinto, as in like Colapinto came in, like you said, he is now our driver. Yeah, I don't necessarily think they'd be looking at Carlos Sainz, but I think that's because they wouldn't be in the market.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't necessarily need to make any sort of change. You know, it's the same way that... It's the same way McLaren weren't looking at Carlos Sainz.
Mm.
You know, in my opinion, Carlos Sainz is on the level of both those drivers.
Yeah.
Lando Norris and Piastri. Carlos Sainz is up there. You give him the right car and you put him up against the right people, he could win a world championship. I also don't think that's controversial to say. But they weren't in that situation. And I think if you said at the start of the season, right, guys, you can have Carlos Sainz or you can have Colapinto. Obviously, the deals are going to be priced up in different ways. One's going to cost you more, but he might bring in more. One's going to cost you less, blah, blah, blah. You'd say, we'll take Carlos Sainz. There's no risk with the Carlos Sainz deal. You know, on the very off chance that for some reason his performance falls off a cliff, that's the only way it goes wrong. But I just don't see that happening.
No, let us know. Let us know what you think.
And he has also proved that he can do it in the biggest team in motorsport.
Yeah, no, I agree.
At the highest level.
Oh, I would always pick Carlos Sainz.
So,
you know me, I like Carlos Sainz. All right, before we get on to other news, I want to do a little quiz with you. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a quiz, but I want to get your views. So, the current grid at the moment, who would you say is the top? Well, I mean, when you look at the whole things, I want you to take into everything. People, the history of the drivers and what they've done and what they're doing now. Who are the top three drivers on the grid?
Oh, for me, that's always easy.
Hmm.
And this is in... this is in order. Max, Lewis, Charles.
Okay.
And for me, it's always going to be very close for Max and Lewis. You know, if it was, you know, 3 years ago, Lewis would be top for me. I think it's hard to not put Max there after the last 3-4 years that he's had. But again, Lewis is a 7-time world champion. He's still proven over the last seasons how good he is. Particularly last season, I think he was really good. And I think that season was really underrated for him. You know, he got third in the championship. He was really breathing down Perez's neck in a car that was an absolute shit heap for most of the season. When that RB19 was disgusting. And then Charles Leclerc, in terms of ability, I think he is still just there. He is just, I think he is the only one that is close to that level. And I would say, I do think the gap is big. And I know a lot of you are probably going to say Fernando Alonso.
No.
He should be in there. Again, I think if you're going back years, yeah, if it was 2012, I'd have Fernando Alonso in there. But it's not anymore, and we have to accept that he's, you know, 42, 43. Fernando is still one of the best drivers on the grid, don't get me wrong. He's up there with, like, you know, that pool of, like, oh, these are the best drivers, yeah. Like your Lewis, Max, Charles, Oscar, Lando, George, Carlos. Alonso falls into that, in my opinion. But top three, yeah, you know. And there is, like, time does move on.
Yeah.
Drivers don't stay in their prime forever. That's exactly why I haven't put Lewis Hamilton first, because we have to accept that currently Max Verstappen is the best driver on the grid at this point in time. I never wanted those words to leave my mouth. But it's fact. I will try and be impartial. But Leclerc's temperament lets him down. I don't mean that he's bad-tempered. Yeah. I mean that he loses his head and caves under pressure sometimes.
Yeah. No, I agree. Do let us know. another thing. I saw this the other day on Twitter, and it, or X, whatever you call it, and it made me laugh. Right, so you're now, you've become a team principal, okay?
Nice.
And I want you guys to play at home as well. You become a team principal. Mm-hmm. So you need to pick two drivers mm-hmm. and a team. Well, I say a team principal. You're an owner. Let me restart that because that's become out of shit. Mm-hmm. You've now become an owner of a team, okay? Mm-hmm. So you can play at home. What I want to know is you've got to pick your a team principal on the current grid and two drivers.
Interesting.
And I know it'd be quite easy to go with the best drivers, but I want you to think about the dynamic, the team relationship, how they work, who has the most potential, because you're building this team. I want you to think that you're building this team for the next 2 to 3 years. Who are you going for? I'm sure you're going for Sergio Perez.
My God, how has he still got a seat? We'll get on to that. That's tricky.
I like this, and there was actually quite a few good responses, so I'm quite interested. Let's start with team principal.
Okay, this is team principal. If all the controversy hadn't happened earlier this year, I would have gone Christian Horner.
I never imagined that would come out of your mouth.
Right. I'm a Mercedes fan, right? I passionately dislike Christian Horner, okay? And that's fine. Not on a personal level. I'm sure if I ever met him in real life, I would clench my fist, but I wouldn't lash out.
Okay.
But everything he does within the F1 world winds me up. It pisses me off. I can't help that. He's a rival, right? It's the same way that I hate Jordan Pickford when Liverpool are playing Everton, but when he sticks on his England shirt, I'm all for him, right? It's one of those. It's a sporting... When I say I hate people, I mean it in a sporting way, right?
Okay.
Not a personal way. So I hate him. But in my opinion, he's the best team principal on the grid, right? I wouldn't take him because of the controversy that now comes with him.
Okay.
But look, he defends his drivers like no one else. And we hate that because it's always... when he's being some like little snitch or something. But all I'm saying is if the 2021 Abu Dhabi scandal happened in Lewis's favour, right, and Max lost the championship in that way, he would not have been crowd surfing later that evening.
No.
He would have been doing everything within his power to have that decision reversed. He's built that team from the ground up. He, alongside Helmut Marko, has brought through some of the best drivers we've seen in the sport. And I think for that reason, he is one of the best team principals. And he's built, you know, a four-time championship winning car in... Okay, I know not him, but like he's built the team and he has run this team... where they won four consecutive titles with Seb.
Mm.
Well, it's now looking like they're going to do the same with Max. And it's just, it's really impressive what they've done. And even in the hybrid era, they were still, they pushed their way through to, they were always sort of third quickest.
Mm.
And then they pushed their way to become second. So you can't discredit him whatsoever. But I think, purely because of the controversy, I wouldn't take him. It would be immoral.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm loving what James Vowles is doing at Williams. And I think if you put him in charge of a team that maybe... I feel like my team's got quite a lot of budget. You know, I've... we did really well last year. So we're going to... You know, we've got the money to invest in infrastructure and stuff. Had a meeting with the board about it the other day. Yeah, they're on board. So
already he's gone into this.
I would get James Vowles in.
Nice. Who's your driver? Are you having a number one, number two, or are you going to have two like equal drivers?
Oh, this is where it gets tricky. Look, at the end of the day, my partnership is... It obviously would be Lewis Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
But I am looking longevity, right? Yeah. So it's very hard to not say Lewis. Because for me, if you give him the car, he beats anyone.
Yep.
But we are a little bit worried about development heading into next season. So I think I would find it quite actually interesting. You might not like this. I think like we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
A Max and Lando.
Okay.
A Max and Lando partnership. I think I'd quite like it to see if I could break them.
All right.
How strong is this friendship? Come to the team, boys. We'll test it. Come to Martin Motors. We'll Limited, that is.
Martin Motors Limited.
Yeah.
Is that what you called yourself? Impressive. Nice.
So I think that'd be quite interesting. I know I've longed this out quite a lot, but yeah, I think I'd have James Vowles in charge of... Oh, but would James Vowles be a bit soft for someone like Max Verstappen? I mean, we've only ever seen his nice side. You know, he was ruthless with the Logan Sargeant thing. So maybe he's like the nice teacher. You know, the nice teacher is always fun. And then like one day he snaps and it scares the shit out of you. So maybe he's actually like that silent killer. So yeah, James Vowles, and then I'd have Lando and Max Verstappen, because I think the combination of the two of them would just be so interesting. It would be like Lewis and Nico. How long does it take for them to hate each other? Because yeah, granted, development for next year is not going very well, but the 2026 car, we've got that on point. And I think we could be competing.
How you've gone so in depth with that. Let us know at home. Play at home.
Well, who'd you pick?
All right, so MJAC Motors.
No, you can't copy my name.
Well, it's Martin Motors.
Yeah, but there's like no other motors in F1. Like I brought that to the sport, Martin Motors.
Okay, well, I'm going with... Well, who the fuck do I go with? What can I call myself?
The Jackson Jaguars.
Oh, like it. Like it. Could go with that. Jackson Jaguars. So we're really confident moving forward and we're going to wipe you out the floor. So
wipe me out the floor? Why am I in the floor?
Well, it's, you know, figure of speech. Maybe not. So I would go for... wipe the floor with you. I like what Andrea Stella's doing. So I think I've been really impressed with him since he's actually gone up to team principal.
Yeah.
Not something which I wasn't expecting him to do as well as he did. I think he's not afraid to make tough decisions. That would fit in quite nicely with our team. So,
well, is he? He kind of is afraid to make tough decisions, if we're honest.
With regards to that, but
so you're going to throw away a World Drivers' Championship because you're too scared to tell the other driver that he's got to give position?
Because I'm the owner, so I'll go down there and tell him, say, look, sort this shit out. But
yeah, but you can't micromanage the whole team. Well, you know, you've got about 350 staff members at your place, so you know you can't oversee everyone.
Okay, one thing I like about him is he's got his team working well. They're a well-run unit.
He has.
That's what I like, and that's what I think having him, he'll be able to bring to Jackson Jaguars. Mm. It literally sounds like Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, is that a team?
Yes, an NFL team.
Maybe that's where I got it from. Maybe it could be Jaguar Jackson. Jaguar can be your engine supplier.
Yeah, we can look at that. So, Stella, team principal. Driver-wise, I like Piastri. He's one for the future. He's young. He's already showing promise. He's already a race winner.
You've got a real thing for Piastri, haven't you?
I love him. But no, I think he's one. He's young. He's got plenty of time. He'll be a world champion. He'll be a world champion with us.
I don't know, because our 2026 car is probably going to be leading the pack.
Not necessarily, though. You don't know what we've got. Adrian Newey as well. He's come over.
Yeah, but you've got a mole in your team.
Have I?
Yeah, well, I don't want to snitch. I'm not going to name any names.
But... No. A bit like you, I'd love to have Lewis But I think, you know, he's coming to the end of his career. I'm looking for long term. That's why someone like Piastri would be good. I would have someone like Alex Albon. Alex Albon.
Is that a joke? No. When do you think you're going to win the 2026 Constructors with that?
Got Piastri.
That is hilarious.
Well, do you think Lando's going to win a championship? He's ain't going to win a championship.
Lando is like, I'm not being funny. Okay, right, because this goes back to, I actually seen a lot of this over the weekend with Albon. Albon was obviously dunking on Logan Sargeant, right? Colapinto has come in, who was subpar, mediocre in yeah. F2. And he's literally jumped straight in the Williams and is matching Alex Albon.
I was actually only joking. I wouldn't pick Albon.
No. You're joking, were you?
I was. Carlos Sainz would be my choice. Carlos Sainz, Oscar Piastri, lovely.
So you've got literally Charles Leclerc, Max Verstappen.
Yep.
Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
What about Woody?
No, God, no. He wouldn't even get a reserve seat. No.
So you're taking Carlos Sainz and Piastri.
Look, building for the future. I'm confident in Oscar Piastri. I think he's won. He will go on and do well for the team. Look, your team is going to explode.
Well, I mean, you've just demoralised 50% of your team because you said you're confident in Oscar Piastri and then completely forgot to mention Carlos Sainz.
Carlos Sainz is also there. Your team is going to explode, though, because you're going to have battles. You're going to be taking people out.
Yeah, but that's whereas the idea. Me, I'm looking for the Drive to Survive payday.
Yeah, but I'm looking for the championship.
Get the camera crew.
I'm looking for the championship.
The boys are having fisticuffs.
I'm looking for the championship. I've got a team now. Oscar's a winner. Sainz is a winner. I've got, you know, Stella there. He will lead that team. It's going
to
be great.
I'm not being funny. I've got Max Verstappen.
Yep. But you need to give him a good car to win.
Okay. Well, actually, I think that's less true with Max than any other driver. Other than Lewis.
Okay. Well, Max Verstappen hasn't won a race since, what, in the last 8 races? Since their car's gone a bit shit?
Yeah, but I think that's more so because the McLaren is very clear.
Yeah.
But, you know, Max Verstappen won races in the Red Bull back in, you know, when they weren't really competing.
Yeah. Look.
Did Oscar Piastri win a race when the McLaren wasn't competing?
Well, it's only his second season.
Did Carlos Sainz win a race at Renault?
No.
Did he win a race at Toro Rosso?
No.
No, what about McLaren?
Yeah.
He won a race.
No, he didn't. Look, don't diss my team. I'm happy with my team.
I'm just saying, you can't say like, you need to give him a good car when like Max Verstappen is probably the driver that you could argue, well,
yeah, but
you could not give him a good car and he will probably win you a race.
Look, we're going to be consistent, okay? You're not. Your driver's going to be taking each other out. You're gonna have people there with the GoPros like for Drive to Survive. That's what you're worried about.
That's what it's all about.
We'll be picking up the championship.
We're here for entertainment.
Anyway, let us know.
Did Lewis and Nico not win the championship?
Yeah, but their cars were far greater than anyone else on that team.
Like, you really are underestimating Martin Motors because we have something special in store for you guys.
Well, I'll see you in 2026. But do let us know. Who would your team principal with? Who would your drivers be? Quite like that. Quite like that. I'm happy with my team.
What about Daniel Ricciardo? Would you take him?
He's my reserve driver.
Well, I think that's about all he's going to be heading into next season. I don't know if you saw this weekend, but all the rumours were floating around. I don't really know. It's kind of harsh how these rumours get out and obviously, Sky Sports were saying a weekend, you know, as we understand, it's his last race and he's going to be replaced come Austin by Liam Lawson. So everyone's kind of talking about this speculation. Every time Daniel Ricciardo is, I don't know, every time there's like some association with Daniel Ricciardo, like, I don't know, they might just happen to film the RB garage.
Mm.
They'll be like, oh yeah, and Daniel Ricciardo, whose seat is in jeopardy and this is probably his last weekend. So, oh, boys, give it a rest. You know, this is the end of a man's career. And a man who, as I said in the TikTok yesterday, has been one of the best personalities that modern Formula One has seen, in my opinion. He's got a huge following. He's got loads of fans. He's always got a smile on his face. Mm. He's a very positive person. He's had a rocky career, which is unfortunate because it started off so promising. And, you know, he still had a very successful career for an F1 driver. You know, what's he won? 7 races or 8 races, something like that. That's not that common. You know, a lot of drivers never win any races. And he's had a 13-year career or something. Nah, maybe not that long. Well, it could be around that. Like,
around that.
Like 10, 11, 12-year career. And, you know, he's done a lot of good things for the sport.
I think this weekend has been very tough and it's been quite awkward to watch because Sky Sports, you know, Crofty on every single piece of his commentary, you know, oh, Daniel Ricciardo gets the fastest lap on what could be his last race. Daniel Ricciardo's not the way we want him to go out, is it? Yeah. Could be his last race. Give it a break. You know, I think RB have kind of done him a bit of a disjustice here in the sense of this weekend, if they knew that it was going to be his last weekend, announce it beforehand. Yeah. Give him a send-off. Don't give him all this speculation because, you know, for us, we've given Daniel Ricciardo a lot of stick. We have done over the last couple of years.
Which I think rightly so. Look, we're
justified.
Not,
completely
we're,
justified.
We're not here to just be nice about everyone. And like I said earlier about Christian Horner, I'm sure on a personal level, the majority of these guys are just really nice guys. Mm. But we're here to critique.
Yeah. So,
because we'd do a better job.
You know, this is Tuesday now and we're recording and we still haven't had any announcement whether Daniel Ricciardo will be leaving RB. But there's been, you know, Ted Kravitz did a really nice piece, you know, which is all circulating social media about him. And Daniel Ricciardo post-race was almost in tears. And I just feel like if this is a driver who we're not going to be seeing in Austin, the least this guy deserves is a better send-off. And what I mean by that is they should have announced it before Singapore and saying, just, you know, Daniel Ricciardo will not be racing with us after Singapore. We'll be replacing him with Liam Lawson. Okay, perfect. Done.
Yeah, because then all the fans can give him a proper goodbye. I'm sure he would have got a massive cheer. And I'm sure he did anyway. But, you know, he got driver of the day. But then he has to do all the media duties where he's getting asked awkward questions about his future where he might be bound in some which way where he is unable to actually tell the truth. So then he's having to say certain things and it's all very awkward. And you see that in his interviews even after the race where like he doesn't say anything, but like his face says everything. Yeah. Or he takes like ages to get out of his car. You know, he's sitting taking it all in. So, you know, I'm sure they know if the rumor's out, there's no smoke without fire.
No.
So he would have been told. So it's like, yeah, just like give the man some dignity because he had the really rough period where he lost his seat in McLaren, where I think they actually had to pay him something ridiculous, like $20 million, to get him out of that
big
seat.
Big payout, wasn't it?
And that's like, imagine. I'd
have been gutted. She could have kicked me out of the seat for that.
Yeah, but imagine something you've worked your whole life towards and someone's like, look, we'd rather give you £20 million than have you race in that car again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of a like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, like, you hate me that much. You'd rather give me £20 million
to get me out
just so I don't race you again. I'd be like, Christ, that hurts. So, you know, he's had a lot of his dignity sort of taken away from him, and yeah, it didn't work out. And he said the goal was to come back and get the Red Bull seat. Well, and this is where like my point was on that reel yesterday. Well, it's a tricky one because if the choice was to get rid of Sergio Perez or Daniel Ricciardo, who are you getting rid of? I would personally get rid of Sergio Perez. And that's because I think the performance discrepancy between teammates is far greater. You know, I don't care who you are. That Red Bull should be getting into Q3 every single race, right? Yeah. Okay, Sergio Perez or whoever this driver may be is not Max Verstappen. That's fine. Okay, they're not competing for the win. But, you know, Sergio Perez is not a Bottas, a Barrichello. You know, Red Bull have struggled to find a number two driver for Max. And I don't really think that's anything to do with Max Verstappen, because you can't tell me that, oh, well, how can you go up against someone like Max? Well, Bottas did a pretty good job for Lewis. Barrichello did a great job for Michael Schumacher.
They're always in Q3s. They're always, you know...
Do you know what I mean? Like, Perez is just way off it, and we have to... That has to be addressed at some point. So I think my ultimate point was, well, I think it's really harsh that Danny Ric is losing his seat, but Perez isn't.
Yeah.
Because Perez deserves to lose that seat way more than Danny Ric. 100%. Do I think Danny Ric necessarily deserves a seat in F1? Probably not. But he sure as hell deserves one over Sergio Perez.
And ultimately, what Daniel Ricciardo did deserve this weekend, if it was going to be his last weekend, is a proper send-off. And not just this whole thing of, you know, keeping everyone in the lurch. You know, we know it's coming, but we're just going to prolong it even more. So
it's pure speculation. Give him an opportunity, because he's not going to be there in Austin, right? If he has lost his seat, he's not going to be there. He's not going to be hanging around like, oh, does anyone want to interview me?
Yeah.
Like, he's just not going to be there. So he could have addressed all his fans, all F1 fans, in these interviews that everyone watches, that are broadcast by Sky, broadcast by F1 TV. And he could have said, look, like, yeah, this is the end, obviously. I want to thank everyone for everything. It's been an amazing 12, 13 years, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the goal was this, haven't achieved it. And I think, like, I'm happy to end my career here.
Yeah. And I think RB, if, you know, it's speculation. If speculation isn't true, you know, RB should have come out and said, actually, this is not true. He will be racing in Austin. Mm. However, they didn't come out and say that. So that would lead me to thinking that the speculation is actually true, and it's just a matter of time until we hear Daniel Ricciardo will not be racing for RB anymore. Daniel Ricciardo also was asked about Daniel Ricciardo was asked about if he did lose his seat, would he come back as a reserve driver for Red Bull? Which he said no. He said that was a good thing for
that period of time
to try and get him back into the sport. But if he's leaving RB, then actually he wouldn't want to go back and be a reserve driver, which I understand. I mean, if you go back into being a reserve driver, you are no way going back into that sport again, because if you can't do it at RB, you can't do it anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, he's already had that opportunity. Do you know what I mean? And it's about that dignity thing. I think now it's about focusing on keeping his dignity and ensuring that, you know, he's remembered as, you know, the great personality, the good driver. On his day, a very good driver. He's had some good spells in his career, and sadly it all went wrong for him when he left Red Bull. But, you know, we've argued on here that he's been overhyped, and like, I completely stand by that. I think he has been overhyped, but he's still a good driver, that as in he should still be remembered as a good driver.
The issue is with him, he will always be known as the better personality on the grid rather than him as a driver.
Yeah, but in life, surely that's a better thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree.
Know, he'll always be known as the nice, smiley, cheery guy.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And that carries way more weight when you're in your 60s, 70s, or if you take that to the grave with you.
There's also talk that he's going to be going to IndyCar with the likes of Logan Sargeant next year. So we shall see what happens. That's still news to come out. Let's quickly just whiz through Singapore, shall we? Practice, not really much to shout about. Let's get on to qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
So qualifying was an interesting one. Obviously, not much changed, really. There wasn't really anything major in Q1. The biggest standout was obviously Carlos Sainz's crash in Q3, which was a very, very bizarre crash.
Well, I mean, he was starting his lap, which was, you know, he wasn't even like gunning it round
turn one.
Yeah, like it was, well, it would have been like the final corner. So it was all, that was very strange. But I mean, it's kind of lucky that he didn't lose it as he was finishing the lap, as opposed to whether he did bin it when he was starting the lap, because if that had happened when he was finishing the lap, that car would be fucked. He would have had, they would have had to swap out engine components. He would have been starting from the pits.
Yeah.
Hands down. So, yeah, blessing and a curse. If it was going to happen, it happened in the right place. Frustrating that it happened for him.
I'm just trying to get up.
Well, then obviously Charles had his lap deleted.
He did. There was a couple. Max obviously did as well because he went through on double yellows his lap time. So let me just quickly run through. So the drivers that went out in Q1 was Danny Ric, Stroll, Gasly, Bottas, and Zhou. Those Saubers suck. They are bad.
Yeah. I think we'll expect to see them at the back of the grid for the foreseeable future.
I say the biggest shock for Q2 was Perez going out in P13. It's not really a shock anymore. Both Williams going out, Albon and Colapinto. But then heading into, you know, Q3, you know, we've discussed on here many times that Lewis Hamilton's biggest downfall is his qualifying pace. Mm-hmm. And he's openly admitted it this year as well, that his qualifying is awful.
And last year.
However, he had a pretty solid qualifying. He
pulled it out of the bag because that Mercedes in practice was up and down and up and down and up and down. And I really thought this is going to be a rough weekend. I didn't think they'd make it into Q3. But...
Well, no, there was a lot of talk that they didn't think they had the pace to get into Q3, isn't
it? Well, yeah, because look at the practice sessions. Yeah. It was ridiculous. But yeah, Lewis pulled it out of the bag. And
biggest standout, Hülkenberg, P6. Yep,
unbelievable.
Hülkenberg has been phenomenal.
Obviously,
this year.
He got promoted a position because Charles's lap got deleted.
Yeah, but still, regardless of that, Hülkenberg putting that Haas into Q3 and beating the likes of, you know, Tsunoda, Alonso, obviously both Ferraris as well. Granted, they got the lap times deleted, but Hülkenberg this year has just got better and better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's always been kind of overlooked over the years, but since he's come into this Haas team, and being put alongside Kevin Magnussen, who, again, over the years has looked good in comparison to Mick Schumacher and that, you know, that lot. So the fact that he's now challenging the likes of Hülkenberg, you're really seeing the difference between a quality driver and a good driver. And that's probably why Kevin Magnussen has lost his seat. But Hülkenberg, it just seems to get better and better, you know. So it's really good to see. I like him. I think he's great for the sport. So... the fact he put it on P6 is a decent weekend for Haas.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It was great.
Obviously, Norris got pole, Verstappen second. I was expecting Red Bull to be pretty woeful this weekend. Obviously,
yeah, but I did say that at Baku, they were the fastest car in the slowest corners.
You did. Both Mercs third and fourth. Piastri P5. Obviously,
he had a stinker.
He went out first. He was the only one who managed to get a lap time in. Before the signs crash, they came out and he just couldn't get it up. He couldn't get it working, could he?
Yeah, but I mean, he was well off Lando all weekend.
Yeah. And Tsunoda, fair play to him, P8.
Yeah.
And great. Again, Tsunoda is showing what the RB should be delivering. You got Danny Ric down in P16, Tsunoda in P8. That's where they should have been.
Yeah.
Heading into the race, because I didn't necessarily see... Well, I watched the highlights, and this is the first race this year I have actually skipped through. Normally, I watch the race all the way through, no issue. I was obviously elsewhere, so I didn't get to watch it, but when I got home, I literally was so bored, I had to skip through it.
Well, it was boring. Like, it was. There wasn't really much going on at all. Merck started Lewis on... the softs, which was really fucking weird because I just didn't think there was any need for them to gamble. And I think what the rationale was, oh, well, if we get off the line and take Max and Lando, then we'll have track position. Okay, but you're trying to do that on the track with what I believe to be the shortest run to turn one.
Yep.
In the whole of the F1 calendar. You're then... getting in front of cars that are substantially quicker than you, and once that tyre offset occurs and all of a sudden your softs fall off and their mediums come through, yeah, you're getting overtaken. Mm. Singapore is not impossible to overtake at. No. It's difficult to overtake at. But you've got a McLaren that is substantially quicker than you. The Red Bull, which at this track, for whatever reason, was substantially quicker than the Mercedes. So I really didn't understand it, because for me, I was looking at it and thinking, P3 and P4, fucking take it, boys. What a weekend that is. For considering how the weekend started and how the car's been looking since the summer break, that's a great result.
Yeah.
And instead they decided to absolutely butcher it by doing a split strategy, which then ruined Lewis's race. Not only did they did it on the car that was in P3, that could have, George could have guaranteed Lewis a podium there.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of things which have recently happened which I question what Mercedes are doing with Lewis. It feels like, I can also see it, they're favouring George in all their decisions. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton has come out and said that decision to put him on softs was not his decision. Mm-hmm. It was a team, he was kind of very much against it. But the team were like, no, they feel like this is the best option. I mean, we're not strategists, but I when I saw that he was starting on softs, I was like, unless you're hoping for a safety car earlier on, this just seems a very bizarre strategy, because there was no one else really on softs at that point. They're all on mediums, or some of the back runners were starting on hards. Still,
even so, if a safety came out, what, you come in, change, you're at the back of the pack, and then it all bunches up, and then you've got to try and make your way through.
Yeah.
At a track like Singapore, where I know I said it's possible to overtake, but I did say it's difficult to overtake, he's not just going to breeze through loads of cars, and he'll be losing time.
So I feel like they're making decisions and they're trialing things with Lewis because obviously he's going. It feels like they're...
Which is fine. Like, I mean, what is there? Like five races left or something? Six races. Something stupid. So.
And also, you know, Mercedes is pretty much guaranteed the P4. They're not really going to get P3 in the championship.
Yeah, they're too far off. Like, so
I get it.
Get Lewis in red.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. Lando Norris, the thing that really baffled me, I think it was by lap 18, he was already 20-something seconds ahead of Max Verstappen. Mm. And I thought to myself, wow, we've literally gone back to years ago when we had such, or even like a couple of years ago when we have...
Years ago or last year?
Last year, where we're having just massive gaps again. It was just mad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, I like to think it's not going to be like this at every track. The McLaren is exceptional.
McLaren is decent. Lando, you know, I know we discussed last week about, you know, whether Lando will be world champion, all of this stuff. I think it's too late now. You know, there's a lot of talk that actually there's 5-6 races, you know, Lando could actually do this. We've always said that Max Verstappen just needs to pick up those P2s, and he was spot on this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing, Max is Max. Like, Max knows what he needs to do. The only thing Max doesn't need, the only way I think Lando can still win this championship is if Max has a DNF and Lando wins that race. That is the only way. If Lando wins, how many races are left? 6.
There are... help with my thing, didn't...
Because if Lando wins every single race...
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
If Lando wins every single race, right, he... can he clear that point deficit? Not if Max finishes second.
I think if Max finishes second, no. However...
because what he would get... he can get 44 points. As in, like, he can eat a 44-point gap.
Yeah.
Which there's a 50... is there a 50-something point gap?
55 point, I think.
So... Lando needs to win every single race.
Yeah.
Oscar needs to put in some more performances. McLaren have to be firm with team orders. At this point, like, and if Max has a DNF,
yeah,
then Lando really can win it. Really can. It's not over yet, is all I'm saying.
No.
And if you want to be brave, a tenner on Lando might not be the worst bet.
Do you think Lando Norris will win the world championship? Because I can't see him winning every race. We've discussed this back in Miami when he won. He then won again in he won the Dutch Grand Prix. We said, oh, if he wins now every race, that's really annoying. Yeah. He'll go on and win it. And then he didn't do anything after that. He's then won this race. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes from this. If he goes on and wins the next race, then I'll be like, okay, there's something here. If he doesn't, then I'll be questioning that actually this is...
Yeah, I think Lando's problem is he's wasted too many opportunities already. He should have won in Monza.
Yeah.
He should have won in Silverstone.
Should have won in Hungary.
He should have won in Hungary. Or... the team should have allowed him to win in Hungary, I think, is more to the point. Because then,
but also, he had the opportunity to put himself in a better position than what he did. So,
well, he did. He lost it on lap one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Again.
But this is my point. It's down to him to also...
But I do think when you see a performance like this weekend from Lando, it does make you think, like, well, he does have it in him.
Okay, but we said that in the Dutch Grand Prix. He led it. It was about 20-second gap.
Yeah.
At the end of that. So do you see what I mean? We say this about Lando. We're like, oh, he has it in him.
Yeah,
and then he doesn't do it consistently.
Where else does he mess up since the Dutch Grand Prix?
Well, he didn't win in Monza.
Yeah.
He didn't win in Baku. Do you see what I mean?
Baku, he had the issue in...
I know he had the issue.
In qualifying, and he actually did... He got P4 in the end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty good job.
I'm not saying it's a bad job, but what I'm saying is he should be winning every race. He should be...
But you can't say that when you said that Oscar... you think Oscar's better than him.
Yeah. But no, when I'm saying Lando should be winning every race, is that's what the hype is about him. Everyone thinks that actually if he's going to Dutch Grand Prix and winning by 20-odd seconds, he should be doing that week in, week out. I don't think he has it in him to do it week in, week out. He's not a consistent driver like sort of Max and Lewis or Alonso even that. He's not a consistent driver to go on and win a championship, in my opinion.
No, I get it, but I still think he has got it in him to win this championship. He just needs...
He's not going
to
get a better opportunity.
He needs a little bit of luck. He needs Max to have two or three poor races, and he needs to show up every single race.
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty confident Max Verstappen will still pick up the points.
I think Max is the safer bet at this point.
But it'd be interesting to see in Austin. If Lando doesn't win in Austin... then my point is valid in the sense of he's just not consistent and he just won't go.
What if Oscar wins?
Fine. I still stand
by... And Lando comes second.
Well, then I still stand by my point that I think Oscar will be a better driver than Lando Norris.
Yeah, but how does that make any sense?
Because I think Oscar is an all-round, more complete driver... with a few more races under his belt, I still think he'll be better than Lando. Come next year, I still think Oscar will be better than Lando.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
But, I mean, that's what I, you know...
There's no point.
No?
We're coming to the end of the episode anyway.
Yeah. So let me know. Let me know what your thoughts are on that. I know probably a lot of people will disagree with me, but, again, personal opinion. And that was it. I mean, obviously, Daniel Ricciardo... One thing I want to touch on about the RB being a sister team to Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I might want to turn it on for this one.
How do I turn it
on? Oh. Quickly. Why is that allowed that they can actually, you know, RB come in and get a point just to help out Max Verstappen?
I don't think that's what happened. I think what happened is Daniel Ricciardo won in fastest lap for his last ever race.
Yeah, I still...
And it just happens to help.
Help Max Verstappen, yeah.
That's my thought.
All right, well, that is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Luke's got a rush off somewhere.
I've got some work I need to do.
He gives me, like, no time notice. Yeah, I sit around for ages waiting for him, and then he's like, we have to rush.
Well, no,
see,
that's
how it is.
I got a message.
But you don't get that on Waffling, do you? No.
Oh, well...
Yeah, exactly.
Waffling pays me substantially more than this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fair. Right, this is the end of the podcast. Hope you have a good week, and we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.